us. And I just appreciate the Lord. And if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and begin verse 12. Very familiar scripture. And let's just all bow our heads before we read the scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings. We just pray that you just come amongst us tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Just give us what we have need of today, Lord. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, just bless each one that's here, the ones that couldn't be here tonight, Lord Jesus, whatever the needs are. Lord, we know that you are the answer to whatever we have need of, Lord. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. Lord, just have your will and way with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And neglect not the spirit that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, which with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. And I want to speak on, be thou an example of the believers. And you know, you look here in the scripture, and Paul's writing to Timothy, this young Christian, this young minister. And you know, no doubt Timothy might have faced some problems and, you know, pressure, you know, probably looked over him and didn't regard him as somebody that he was in the position that God had called him to. And you know, here's Paul telling him, but be an example of the believers. And you know, one of the first things that, you know, when he was speaking, you know, don't look at the things that are around you, whatever that's happened to you, but he said, be an example of the believer. And one of the things that always struck me about reading this scripture is Paul never tells Timothy to look at him. He says, but be an example of the believers. Don't be an example of me. Don't try to copy me. Don't try to do what I do. Don't, you know, this is not cloning. This isn't, you know, Paul was who he was. Timothy was who he is. And you be who you are, but you be who you are in Christ. And he said, but be an example of Christ, but be an example of the believers, because of the different believers that you've seen, the ones that have carried the faith, the ones that are upholding the faith, said, you be an example of them. And you know, Brother Bram, you know, we are to be an example to everybody. We are to be an example. You know, we're to be examples to the world, to the youth. You know, we're supposed to be an example to each other, to everybody around us. We're supposed to be an example. And you know, it behooves us to be in the hour, which the day and hour we live, where we're at right now. You know, it's not time to play games or anything like that. But, you know, we need to be totally sold out on who God is, excuse me, and what we're doing and what we believe. Today is the day of salvation, and we don't have another day, because, you know, none of us this afternoon are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised in the morning. We're not even promised tonight. Because right now is the day of checking up. We don't have another second, another minute, because we don't know when God's going to call for us. But you know what? We've always got to be ready at all time and everything. And we need to be an example of what we believe. We need to manifest what we believe. And we ought to live what we believe. Brother Branham said, you know, he said, I'd rather you live me a sermon than preach me one. Because you know what, if you're going to have it, he said, because that's a better evidence of being a Christian, is if you live what you believe. Don't preach it, just live it. Because he said, you know, each one of us can be a preacher, but because we're going to preach the gospel through our lives. We're going to manifest who we are, and we've got to live a sermon. He said, that's what we do. He said, our actions show what we are. And so if we actually believe to be Christians, if we're going to be a Christian, and if this is what we believe, then you know what? It's time to manifest what we are. Because you know what? It's time to lay aside every sin and every weight and everything that will discourage you and take you off course, and lay aside every weight that will so easily beset us, and run the race that's set before us, that we should just continue to run. And no matter how hard the trials get, or how things come or go our way, you know what? We are to run, and run with confidence, and run with faith, and run with vigor, and run with zeal. Because, you know, we shouldn't be stopped by anything. We shouldn't shoot, because if we see the day and hour which we live, then thank God, because I do believe that the coming of the Lord is closer today than it ever has been. Then if it's closer today than it was yesterday, then it's something that we ought to have more confidence in what we're doing today than we did yesterday. Then we ought to be sold out more today to the Word of God than we were yesterday. And you know, we should lay aside all these things and not worry about these things, because if we're not totally sold out to the Word of God, then we need to get in the altar and pray, because we need to get ready, because today is the day that you've got to get ready. If you're not ready to go, because, you know, there's many people that, you know, they just, because Satan is working today, he is on the rampage, and one thing he wants to do is he wants to rock you to sleep. He just wants everybody to just think everything's okay, and you can just have your just easy living. You know, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a really life, one that's going to fight upstream to get to the place that we got to go to. And if you're going to fight, you got to go and know where you're going, because if you know where you're going, then you know what? You've got to know how to get there. And let me tell you, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, nobody can come to me but the Father. Nobody can come but this way but by me. Your only way that you're going to get there is by me. And he sent us the way, showed us the way, and told us how we're going to come. And we've got to know who we are and where we're going and how to get there. And today is the day. And Brother Brown was talking in the message, why? And he was talking about Paul and Timothy. He said, talking about stirring up the gift that he had in his life. And he was speaking of the gift that Timothy had in his life, and he was talking about it come through his grandmother Lois, and he was speaking of Levi paying tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham. And so he was talking how this is a generational thing. And he says, Brother Brown was talking about, see, it was accounted to Levi to pay in Melchizedek tithes because of his great-grandfather. It was accounted to him for paying tithes. And Brother Bram says, your life will impress your children. He said, you have influenced your children by the example you set before them. And I think it's a good thing that we put every effort we can before our children as godly parents. He said, make an example, be an example. So if you look here, he was talking about our lives and the things that we ought to be doing. Well, first off, it takes to have parents that are living the right kind of life. They're living the kind of life in front of their children. And Brother Brown continues, because, you know, the first example that you're going to have as a child, the first example we have is our parents. The biggest example that we have is our parents. You know, Brother Ram talked about the fifth gospel being mom. You know, that's you're going to have more influence upon your children than anybody else. And you know, because today the hour which we live, we see it, and it started way back. But you see all these people, they're expecting somebody else to raise their children. They're waiting for somebody else to solve all their problems. But you know what? It takes place in the home. The life that's lived in the home is what is the example that they need. And, you know, because you see a lot of things that have went on. And Brother Brandon was talking about, you know, the condition that the world is in today. He was talking about, you know, the condition that the world has gotten into today. And we see the condition. This was back in the 50s and 60s. But he was talking about how terrible it was. And, you know, he was talking about how, you know, the women and the immoral condition that the women were in. And he was talking about the condition that the world had gotten into, because he said, this is America's God. It's a woman. And, you know, she can send more men to hell than all the bootleg joints in the country. But, you know, but that's, he said, but the devil knows what he's doing. He said he knows that in the beginning. He said that's the reason he chose a woman. He said, now the woman is redeemed and she can be a sister and godly. But brother, what we need today is some real good old-fashioned God-sent Holy Ghost-born mothers to raise children, right? He said, talk about juvenile delinquency. It's parent delinquency is where it lays out. He said, that's exactly right. And so, you know, it starts in the home. It starts with mom. But then continuing on, Brother Branham said that the problem has been is because the people that are standing behind the pulpit, he said, the preachers have let down on the word. And he said, brother, let me tell you something. I say, if the preacher behind the pulpit would have stayed with the old-fashioned gospel and God kept the thing straight, we wouldn't have so much of this juvenile delinquency and everything else that we have got today and the trouble we got. God still looks down upon that. And he said, how can you preach divine healing and the power of God when you associate with such as that? You can't do it. He said, oil and water won't mix. He said, Brother Branham, you're trying to be a legalist. He said, I'm not trying to be a legalist. He said, I'm preaching the gospel. He said, I'm not taking sides. He said, I'm preaching what the gospel is, because this is what the truth is. And so, you know, he was talking about what we need is good old-fashioned homes. And he said, that's where the problem is because Brother Branham was speaking to the young people one time. You know, he's talking about, you know, the mother. He said, you young people, you know, you're going to raise up, you're going to be the fathers and mothers of the next generation that's coming on. And, you know, what you do today is going to have an influence on the next generation, what takes place, the kind of life that you live, how your children are going to be, and the things that you let slide. But, you know, we need to have a fervor, a zeal in front of our children. We need to be totally sold out to not allow Satan to have one foothold, one toehold on anything in our lives. We need to make sure that he is totally cleared out. I don't want the devil to have any kind of hold on me. I don't want him to have any kind of hold on my family. I don't want to have anything. But, you know, but you've got to set the example, and you've got to hold the word up. You've got to have the standard there. And whether anybody likes it or not, that's immaterial. That doesn't matter. Because, you know what, I'm going to hold the standard. I'm going to say, this is wrong and that's right. And that's the way it's going to be. You know, because being a parent is not a popularity contest. You're not going to be popular with your decisions. But you know what? The only thing is you've got to answer to God for the choices that you made and the rules that you make and the standards you set. God's going to require an answer of you. And the thing is the person that he requires an answer from is the head of the house. Because, you know, the thing is everybody talks about women, and I'm just going to preach today, and I'm just going to preach, and if it falls, the chips fall where they may, I'm just going to get this off my heart today. But let me tell you something, you know, because you see women today, and they're like, well, you know, my husband's the head of the house, and I'm the wife, and, you know, and he's going to answer for me. Yeah, Brother Branham did say, but the thing is, you know, I'm just going to say this, but let me tell you something. If a God-sent man stands up, if a husband stands up and sets the standard and tells you what the standard is, if you go out and do whatever you want to, then the wife answers for that. Because you know what? When the standard has been set, because let me tell you something, when Christ set the standard for in the church, then you know what? You have to be under headship. And if you're out from under headship, then you answer for it, because the sin stays upon your head. The only place that Eve could have been fortified was behind the word. When she stood behind the word, see, if she had been behind her headship, which was Adam, which was God who gave her Adam, if she'd have stayed there instead of listening to some Tommy Rot, she would have been fortified behind the word. And see, the problem is everybody wants to live, because what did Brother Branham say? He said in the last days, he said there'd be seven women latch on to one man and say, let us eat our own food, wear on our apparel, do our own thing, but let us be called by your name. What is it? People want to be called Christian, but they don't want to live the life. They don't want to hold the standard. They don't want to believe what the word says. But it takes living the life. It takes toeing the line. So you've got to know what the word is, and you've got to hold the line. You can't just do whatever you want to. He said, God, give us old-fashioned, born-again, sainted, godly homes, juvenile delinquency, we be no more. It isn't juvenile delinquency, it's parent delinquency. He said they had the old woodshed and the big hickory limb laying over the door. He said that's discipline in our home. See, the problem is that nobody knows what discipline is anymore. You know, because the problem is, you know, everybody wants to read Dr. Spock and Dr. Dobson and Dr. Seuss and whoever else. And, you know, and they always want to find some kind of, trying to find some kind of psychology. You know, because they think, you know, we're going to have, well, you know, because you know what? You're going to mess up their psyche if you paddle their rear ends. Well, you know, y'all don't have to say amen. I'm going to preach anyway. But you know, the thing is, but you know, the problem is, you know what? God started this thing. He wrote it in the Word. And you know what? He started it. And you know what? He raised many people by doing the right thing. And the Bible tells us, you know, if you get something after them and you paddle their rear end, said they won't die. Because you know what? It's correction. Because you know, if you go at it with malice or vengeance, you know, because you're not doing it correctly. Because you know what? God doesn't correct us that way. And you know, sometimes, you know, it makes your blood boil. Okay, I'm going to preach today. I'm going to tell you, it makes my blood boil. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Well, you know, I just feel like going. But you know what? It does. I mean, but you know what? Because no matter what you do, it'll drive you up the wall. You will try to tell them and talk to them. And you know what? Sometimes that's what it takes. You got to get a hold of them. Because they're going to go straight. They're going to do their whatever they want to. And the only way that you're going to stop them, the only way you're going to turn them around is sometimes you got to give, as Brother Branham said, you got to give them some of that posterior protoplasmic stimulation. Sometimes you got to get a hold of, because you know what? Their brains are not up here anymore. They got to have a reset button. And sometimes that's what it takes. But you know what? People don't have that anymore. And the problem is like, you know, I suffered through that, as the saying is, you know, I suffered through that growing up, you know, where my parents spattled me. And you know what I ended up with? I ended up with a whole lot of respect for my elders. I had a lot of respect for those that were in charge over me. And the problem is nobody has any respect for anybody because they didn't have to go through that. Because you got kids that are less than 10 years old and they run the house. They get to make all the decisions. And people wonder what happened. Well, you know, this is way back in the 50s and 60s. Everybody started writing books. You know, we have to, you know, we got to pet them and we got to do this. And now we got people that are stand up that's got more letters behind their name than, you know, half the alphabet back there. You know, all these PhDs and all kinds of different, you know, they've spent their entire life in some kind of institution and some kind of educational system. You know, they went to these great universities and had all this training. And then they stand up and want to tell you that you need to ask your baby if it's okay to change their diaper. Just like Brother Branham out there talking about, you know, with Junior Deer, we're in a high class society. We're one of the modern families. Son, we're gonna give you this little bell. We're gonna set it next to your crib. And when you need anything, Brother Branham tells a story about little Junior. If you need anything, you just ring the bell and your mama will come in here and take care of your needs. He said, but that's not the way God provided. That wasn't God's provided way. That wasn't the way nature, because if the baby needs something, it's going to cry out for it. And that's the only way it knows how to get somebody's attention, that it needs something, is to cry out. And he said, that's exactly the way it's saying would be. You can't have some dry eye confession. You can't have some shaking hands and try to come to some mental condition, some mental idea, the mental conception of this, how it's going to be. It's going to take a new birth, and it's going to take
take a dying out to you and a rebirth by Jesus Christ. It's not because, you know, it doesn't change. Everybody wants to change how the new birth is preached and what the new birth is. Well, you know what? It's the same thing. It took place from the beginning again, from Acts 2 all the way to the day. It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same formula. And the only way that you're coming is the same way they came. It's a birth of the Word. See, we need that. He said, Brother Ram says, oh, we shouldn't hear that kind of stuff. He said, you should hear it. That's right. He said, you don't let God in that private life. You won't let Him in those little cell of yours on the inside. See, we just want to come to a certain place, but you know, we have our little defenses set up. We're just gonna allow God into certain areas, and we've got our preconceived ideas of how far we're gonna allow God to move. Because you know, we don't mind the Lord working on these areas, but not over here now. We don't want you messing with this, you know. And everybody's got their own little ideas about, you know, how everything's gonna be. Well, I don't mess with that now. Well, you know what? If He's gonna be the Lord of your life, then you know he's going to be in every aspect of your life. The ones that make you the most uncomfortable. The ones that you have the most hidden from everybody. Because the one thing is you can hide so much of your life from your parents. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from the pastor. You can hide it from so many people. How much of your life is covered by so many things. You can hide so much, but the one thing you can't hide is who you are before God. You're not going to hide anything from God. God's going to know it all. And you know, because then all of a sudden God begins to deal with you in the areas where you need help. And lots of times that's where you've got all these defenses set up. Well, I don't want anybody dealing with this. I don't want to deal with it. Well, you know, that's the problem that you have, because you can't grow any further than that. Because if you're hiding something, if you've got something fortified because of what took place in your life, whatever your, you know, Brother Brown was talking about the young man, and you know, he had this, you know, inherited traits and, you know, the different things, and, you know, and you know, he couldn't get beyond all of that because that's what he inherited through his family. And, you know, they all had this, same attitude, the same way. And, you know, he was talking about, somebody in the family, his mom or somebody, you know, said, you know, you just go down the street and they won't even talk to you. And, you know, they just got this added, you know, and it's just like, you know, he's stubborn. He's got this spirit on him. Well, he just inherited that. Well, the problem is that's, you know, it wasn't, as Brother Brown said, you know, that's just life's grab bag. You get all these different things and you don't get to pick on me. But you know, guess what? You have to deal with them. And God begins to deal with you in these things, and you have to figure out, you know, are you going to actually allow God to work in your life and deliver you from these things, or are you just going to carry them on? Because lots of times things that happen in our lives, well, we can't control those things because they come. But guess what we can do? We can't overcome them. We don't have to allow Satan to have a toehold in our lives, because all of a sudden, because these seeds that are sown in our lives that we don't have a control over because of what things happen. But let me tell you what, if you can allow them things, you can root all those things up and get them out of your life. You can, because He's here to relieve you from all those things. You know, there's people that have dealt with abuse and a lot of different things in their life growing up because of the hardships that they had to go through. You know, just like Brother Bram talking about having anger issues and all that, and out there trying to tell him, well, just breathe and tie the little knots in the rope. He was so mad he his fingers wouldn't work. You know, he's up there trying to tie knots, you know. What was it, like two or three of them things? And that thing is gone. He's... Why? Because, you know, you're not going to have some kind of psychology thing, you know, mind over matter. Well, if you don't mind, it don't matter. Well, guess what? It does. Because there's somewhere down on the inside of you, because that old man, that old nature is still there. And you know what? And the devil knows where that punch is coming. And he gets right inside where you actually live. And you think, well, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with... But you know what? The devil will be sitting there going... on your one nerve, going... And everybody's like, well, I'm okay. No, the devil knows how to. And it, lots of times it's your family. He knows how to work. He's been dealing with humans for a long time. He knows exactly how to what makes you tick, and everything about you. And he knows how to get in there, and you know, and it, your children. And your spouse, your wife, your husband. I mean, they're a master at getting on your bad side, and you are a master at getting on your wife or husband's nerves. Well, y'all can say amen if you want to. It's the truth. Oh, me. But I know we don't think about that. But it's true. You know, that's like I go to work and, you know, thank God one of these days there won't be any jobs. We'll be free of that. Thank the Lord. We don't have to get up, go to work. Because, you know, and it's like the Lord will send you people because, you know, the Lord knows what you need. And he knows you need patience and temperance and godliness. And he sends you coworkers that you spend more hours, sometimes more hours in a day with them than you do at home. Excuse me, and they... I have to hold on to the scripture sometimes, you know. All things work together for the good. All things work together for good. I don't know what the good is. I don't see the good. But I know that's what the scripture says. You have coworkers and they just, You know, he said he wouldn't put more on you than you could bear, but he'd make a way of escape. Well, you know, I thank the Lord. I was like, I have to go on the roof sometimes. And I need y'all to stay here. I'm going there. I understand, like Moses, like, y'all stay here. I'm going up on the mountain. I'm going on the mountain to talk to the Lord. Y'all stay down here. You know, we got to go someplace else. You know, we got to find that brook Cherith like Elijah did. Go down there and stay and let the ravens feed you. You got to find a place to get away sometimes because... Things might go south on you. But, you know, God sends all these things, and you wonder why you have to go through these things. But it's working for your good. All these things happen, and he knows. See, Satan knows how to reach you, how to get to you, get on your nerves, and your last nerve will be shot, and then, you know, something else will happen, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. But, you know, the thing is the Lord wants you to realize, hey, you got to trust in me. You know, so many times we face so many trials and situations. And you know what? After a while, if you commit it to the Lord, then after a while you come to find out, you know what? That doesn't bother you as much as it did before. The Lord will bring you through that. All of a sudden, you know, because you begin to see things. And many times when we go through situations in our lives, when things happen, we begin to deal with these things, and then all of a sudden, you know, God begins to show you that person. Because that's one thing Brother Ram was talking about in The Statue of a Perfect Man. You begin to see how your brother deals with these things. You understand where he's coming from. And you begin to see these people. And, you know, sometimes it's you have to step back because you see somebody and they're coming at you or different things happening. But, you know, you have to realize, you know, how would Jesus handle this? You know, how can you express Christ to this person? You know, because, you know, then you begin to see, hey, you know what, I need to see how God would handle this situation. Well, Lord, what do I need to do? And sometimes, you know, they're looking for, because they're coming at you mean, evil way. But you know what? You don't return evil for evil, but you return good for evil. Because you know what? The world is looking for Jesus Christ. There's a lot of professors out there. There's a lot of people that talk about it. But the problem is the world is looking for the manifestation of it. They're looking to see Jesus Christ. Can you show Jesus Christ? When the world looks at you, do they see Jesus Christ? Because there's a lot of people, you know, I was talking to a man the other day, and, you know, you quote certain just simple things out of the Scripture, and they look at you like, what? It's like, well, do you know John 3:16? That's about their extent of the Bible. I asked one of them the other day, we were talking, I was like, well, tell me what Genesis 1:1 is. Do you know what Genesis 1:1? And he was like, is that in the beginning was the Word? No, that's the beginning of one of the books. And you're getting there. It's in the beginning, that's right. In the beginning, God. And he was like, created? Oh, the heaven and earth. Well, how in the world do you plan on getting closer to God and know anything about God if you don't? Do you believe this is the Word of God? Do you believe this is the Word of God? Do you believe this is inspired of God? Do you believe this came from God and it came to you? Well, then here's an idea. If you want to know more about God, you can't find it on TikTok. You can't find it on YouTube. Now, you can find a lot of other stuff on there. And you can't find it watching movies. Because you know what? When you sit around, you're watching hunting videos and you're watching all this other stuff, and they can tell you more about what NFL players are doing, what and when, and knowing, you know, more about what the Atlanta Braves are doing and all kinds of stuff like that, which, I mean, if you want to watch, that's fine. But the problem is you can't get close to God knowing what the batting average of all the Atlanta Brave players are. If you're spending all your time, all you can talk about is the Georgia Bulldogs, well, you know what? You can't find God on the Georgia, because he's not on the roster. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm sorry, I know it's going to break some of y'all's heart, but he's not on the roster. But the problem is, there's one place that you're going to find God, and not just coming to church and sitting on a pew and looking at the walls, it's going to get you closer to God. But there's one thing he said he sent his word. He sent his word to him. And if you want to know where God's at, God's in his word. And if you don't ever get in the word, then how are you ever going to change? How are you going to know God? Because you can't just look at it and have some preacher tell you what the Bible says. Well, just come pay your tithes and get baptized, and you think that's the end of it. That's no relationship with God. When you don't even know what the Bible says. But you know, the world, well, you just come to church, and we just love the Lord. And you don't even know the first thing about God. And it's like, well, how are you going to know? Well, you know what? I tried to read the Bible, and you know what? It's just too hard. Well, you know what? Here, you just keep reading. And I'll give you another tip. You begin to read the Bible, and then you pray. And you know what? And don't just give me, you know, just some kind of quick, now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. But you need to go in there and meditate on what it says. And think about what it says and pray to God so that God begins to speak to you. Because all of a sudden when somebody starts talking about something, then if you don't understand, God will send somebody along your path, and they'll come across your path and begin to speak on things. Because, you know, I was speaking to this man, and all of a sudden he was like, that's in the Bible? Yeah, it's amazing what you find if you read the Bible. Because, you know, I mean, you can spend your time reading all these novels and all kinds of stuff. And, people dug way down in the ground, and they've dug everything up. And, you know, they're trying to tell us about aliens and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, all the things that the government's doing. And, you know, people, they spend their entire lives wrapped up in conspiracy theories. And what the government's trying to hide from us, and all this thing, and all the crazy things that's went on, and, you know, what's going on at Area 51, and all these type things. And it's like, listen, guess what? I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Because, and I may be getting off my subject, but I'm just trying to lay a foundation here. But when you see these things, you know what? All this stuff is going away. All of this is going to pass away. The only thing that's coming is because he said he's coming back. And guess what? You're either going to go with him or you're going to have to go face a white throne judgment. There is a day coming when you're not going to live any longer. And all the things that you see, your bank account won't be around anymore. Your 401k won't matter to you. It won't mean a thing to you. You can't do anything with it. But there's one thing that's going to, you're going to have to take this word and you're going to have to give an account for it. Because God sent his word and somebody's crossed your path and told you, you know what, you need to repent. And somebody's told you, you need to read the word of God. Well, you know what, then you've got to do something with that because you have Jesus on your hands. And so you see, because that is our commission, to go into the world and preach the gospel, to minister to those and tell these people, you know what, there is a way out because it's not going to last very long. This earth will not stand the way it is right now. There is a day coming and it's going to be all over with. I tell people, listen, there is an elect bride, there's an elect body of Jesus Christ, and one of these days he's coming to take his own out of here, and you better be ready to go. You better know that you know that you know that you're ready to get out of here. And let me tell you, when the bride is gone, there's a wrath being poured out that your mind can't comprehend what's going to take place. And you tell these people, listen, you got to get ready. You better know. There, because you know what? There ain't a second ark coming. There's one way out, and that's Jesus Christ. And after that, you're going to have to give an account. God don't have no second way out. No left behind strategy. There's one way out, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can't come up with it. Is you better know that you have received that token, that life, that forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And you better know that your sins are forgiven and that you are under the blood. Because any other way is not going to work. Brother Bram says here, they said the devil has a pattern of everything God has real. The Babylon was made a pattern of heaven, all the natural. See, just exactly. There is a real, genuine Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a lot of hypocrites that just act like it. He said the hypocrite only declares that the real person to stand out bright and shiny, doesn't it? All the false and bogus things only declare the real. See, most everybody, you know, they're looking for something that's real. Well, you know what? Because when you start to see these things, and I was speaking to the young people too, when you see the things in the world, Satan has so many things out in front of you to show you all these things. The first thing he wants to do is show you the bogus. But you know what? If there is a counterfeit dollar bill, then you know what? There's a genuine somewhere. He said, as long as there's a counterfeit, there's a real one. Is that right? As long as you can see an act of the devil, just remember he's impersonating something of God, a real one somewhere. See, that's right. Just remember, when you see that, that's what it is. So we have to see that we have to have this to be the example. But you see these things, that God is showing us these things, and the devil's going to have his pattern. He's going to have his way to come, and you're going to have to see that the devil's going to come against you with everything that he has. But you've got to understand, God has brought the word to you. And you go out there and you tell people, listen, you got to be ready to go. And you know, you don't have to try to, it's like you tell people, you don't have to try to explain everything to them. You don't got to tell the whole Bible to them. But the one thing is, you got to repent. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You got to realize that you're lost. And there ain't no other way to make it. And you go out there and you tell people, you know what? Because when you read the scripture and it says to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, tell me what the name is. You go up there and ask somebody, what's your name? It ain't rocket science. You ask somebody, what's your name? They tell you what their name is. Well, you know what? Well, what's the name in the Bible? What's the one name that's given under heaven? What everything that we do in word or deed is only to be done in one name. When Jesus told them to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell and quickened the word to them, and they went out to preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel to the world, what did Peter say that went out there? What did Peter and the 11, when they walked out there and began to proclaim the scripture, what did they do? They baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one name that you can be saved in is in Jesus Christ. The only one you can be baptized in is Jesus Christ. So whatever you're asking for, there's only one name that has deliverance in it, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that we have is the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the name we ought to be called of. We should be called Mrs. Jesus Christ. You don't have to tell the whole world, but you know there's people that go out there and they can't see that. And some people, they begin to see that and they realize it. And you know what? They allow the devil to steal that away from them. They hold on to that, but you know what? They never go any further than that. Why? Because they like, well, you know what? Uncle Bob says such and such, and Granny said this, and so-and-so said that, and the preacher said this, and you know, and everybody else says this and that. And you know, but you know what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Then take it right back to the scripture. Then that's where you stand. That's exactly where you got to put your foundation. What is the word, when God begins to deal with your heart, what does He tell you? You got to deal with it. You've got to answer for that. See, the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that is today. He said, Brother Ram says, I'll admit it's been tramped on, made fun of, misinterpreted, misrepresented, and everything else like that. That's only the devil counterfeiting. But there is a real, genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost that brings the same results that it did on the day of Pentecost. That's right. Yeah, everybody wants to run it all down and discount what was said, but you know what? It's still the same. And if you put your trust and have an open mind and pray to God that He begins to deal with you, then you can see that God's going to lead you right down what the Scripture says. See, the thing is you know, I know where I stand, and you've got to have the same experience. You've got to know what the Scripture says and know where you're standing and what the truth is for your day. You know, because, you know, it doesn't matter how many people try to tell me that this message is wrong, or, you know, Brother Branham was wrong, he was fake, he was a false prophet, whatever. It doesn't matter how much they try to tell me all those things. You know what? It still doesn't change the fact that I still believe it. And if I, you know, because if I'm lost and eternally lost because of that, then guess what? That's where I've put my faith, and that's where I'm sealed at, and I'm not moving from that. Because that's what God has put me to. But you know what? I began to see through the Scripture, the opening of the Word, to see the day and hour in which we live. Because everybody says, well, I don't see this and I don't see that. Well, I'm sorry, because the more I look into the Scripture, the more I can see the types and the shadows match up perfectly, exactly, with the ministry of Brother Branham and the day and hour in which we live. See, I just see it. I can see the day and hour which we live. I can see you look at the government, the everything that's going on all around the world. And Brother Branham stand there and he prophesying and telling us what was going to take place. And we began to see those things exactly as Brother Branham told us they're coming to pass today. I don't know about you. It doesn't shake my faith. It encourages me. It lifts me up. It strengthens me. See, Brother Ram said, are you speaking to the young people? Talking about the day and the hour. And he said, see, talking about the young people. He said, do you realize the things that you're doing? He said, if there is another generation, your children will be judged for what you do. He said, haven't you got any respect or decency? See, they're out wearing all kinds of immoral stuff and everything like that. He said, God said He'd visit the iniquity of the parents upon the children and their children to 3 and 4 generations. Now, He was talking about the condition that the world is in from that time to this day, to see the condition that the families have been in. And while we need to hold up the standard, because we've seen it, how it's just declined and declined and declined and declined. But let me tell you what, the standard, the Word of God didn't change. The standard of God didn't change. The standard is still the same. But brother continues on. He said, but did you realize, my brother, every time you do that which is right, that'll be visited upon your children. And he continues on here, and he says, see, and Levi, who received tithe, paid tithe, for he was yet in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek, and Abraham was his great-grandfather, and Levi was in the loins of Abraham. The Bible said he paid tithes to Melchizedek. He said, don't let nobody tell you that any kind of move in the world can ever interfere with God's great cog. She's moving right on. He said it was planned back there in the beginning. There ain't a devils or enough devils that can interfere with his program. So let me tell you something. When God sent you to uphold the standard, let me tell you something. The blessings will be upon your family because you uphold the standards. Because of what you want, what the Word says do, you do that. And as you go through that, you know what? Then the blessings will be upon your family. If you want the blessings of God, then you know what? Then you follow what the Word has to say. And the thing is when you begin to follow what the Word says, when you begin to do the things that the Word says, then what did he say? There ain't enough devils in hell that's going to stop the plan of God. There's not enough devils in hell that can stop what God is doing. What God is doing in your life, no matter how much it looks bad, no matter how much things it looks like it's not going to happen, let me tell you something. If you follow what God says, if you put your trust in God, then you know what? It's going to come to pass. Because if you don't put your trust in, how is that ever going to come to pass? You know, because, you know, like Brother Ryan said, you know, if you knew that you were going to be shot in the morning, are you going to fear or are you going to have faith? He said, well, you know, if we fear, nothing's going to change. But, you know, if I have faith, there's something might change. But if the Word says that will, if we follow according to the Scripture, then you know what? It changes things. There is a way of deliverance, and it'll come out the way, because if he promised it, if it's in the Scripture and it is promised to us, then if we are children and heirs of God, then you know what? Then it's ours to claim it. And no matter if we have the bigger the test, the bigger the problem, the bigger the trial, then the greater the testimony, the greater the blessing that's going to come. You know, that's the reason I really enjoy when Brother Ryan was speaking, you know, going through all the things that they went through, him and Sister Gabby went through, and you know, when the doctors are telling you, you know, when the devil's playing in your mind and the doctor's telling you can't make it, your daughter can't make it, all these things, all they can see, all of them, you know what? You look at the promises of God. And let me tell you something. If he done it one time for one person, then you know what? You meet on the same ground with the same faith, and he'll do it again. You think about some illiterate woman down there in Memphis that didn't have anything, but you know what? She had faith in what God said. She had an experience with God to have her faith anchored in the Word of God and standing there. She might have never had nothing in her life. She might have never amounted to anything, but you know what? She had faith in God that she could ground a plane. When she found out who she was and she had faith and she could claim what God had given her, then you know what? She could ground that plane. And she said, I'm the Shunammite woman. She said, well, where's your Elijah? When she got down on her knees, you know what? She got desperate with God because she got an answer. And the problem is many times in our lives, the problem is the reason we don't have a breakthrough is we give up too easy because we've allowed the devil to sway us one way or the other because we've allowed doubt and dismay and all these other things get in our way. But you know what? You stay right there and hold on, because just like that woman, she held on. She was out there and standing there praying all night till she got an answer from God. She didn't know what was going to take place. She didn't know what was going to take place. But you know what? She knew God had given her an answer. And she saw that dream that Brother Branham was coming down her way. Here's Brother Branham. He didn't even know what was going to take place. He didn't know what was going to take. Why are God, Lord, I'm just following you. I don't know why I'm out this way. He just going along. I'm just following the leading of the Lord. The Holy Spirit's leading me down this road, walking miles. He said, well, I guess I don't know when I'm going to get home. Plane's probably already gone by now. But you know what? He wasn't worried about what's going to happen next. See, people say, well, you know, I would like to be led of the Lord. But you know what? I would like the leading of the Lord and to be able to do things. And it's like, well, you know, I don't have the finances for this, and I don't have the education for this, and I don't have the time to do this, and I don't have this, and this is a problem, and that's a problem. But you know what, just like Brother Branham out there, you know, just walking along, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Well, I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm not trying to answer, trying to figure out all the questions. All I know is I'm being led of the Spirit. Just give all that over to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know. I'm just going to keep walking. I'm just going to keep walking. And I don't know where I'm going. All of a sudden, he passed by this black lady standing out there by the fence, wet from the dew because she'd been out there all night. And she's standing there and saying, good morning, Parson. And he's like, good morning, Auntie. And just keep, and then he's like, how did you know I was a parson? Oh, I've been waiting on you. See, her faith moved a plane, moved the prophet. Brother Branham didn't, you know, God didn't tell Brother Branham what was going on. Hey, listen, you go 20 miles this way, and when you get down there where the big oak tree is, and just look over to the left, there's a black lady standing there with a man's shirt tied on her head, standing by the fence. She's got a son that's dying. He didn't know nothing. But you know what? He walked by faith. He knew the leading of the Lord. And so many times, we, you know, because when the Lord wants to use us, many times we get up here, well, you know what? It's going to be an utter failure, brother. It ain't gonna matter to a hill of beans. It ain't gonna touch nobody. Nobody's gonna get blessed by this. And you know, and it's like, you know what? And sometimes when we spend our time, you know, talking the devil's language, and you know, and then not realizing, you know what? If we just get sold out to God, God can use us. You know, I don't expect to travel the world and do things, but you know what? I believe that if I can touch one person, then you know what? Then all the rest of it is immaterial. It doesn't matter if I can just reach one soul. If there's one that can account to my life, if I've touched one person, if I've encouraged one person, you know what? Then it makes it all worthwhile. You know, because you know what? God's not going to ask us how much we've done and how much money we raised and all these kind of things. Hey, all he's going to ask us is one question. Are you faithful? Were you faithful to the calling that God gave you? Or have you been faithful to what God gave you? Are you faithful? It's not how big it is or how little it is. I don't care if anybody ever knows my name or anything like that. But I want to be faithful to the call of God. I want to do everything that I can. Whether it's like, well, I don't know how this is going to work out or how that's going to work out. God takes care of all that. Here's this little black lady down there in Memphis. But she got her answer. Here's Brother Bram. He didn't know where he was going or what was going to take place, but you know what? God used him. Now, he could have been standing behind some pulpit calling people out. He could have had a prayer line of thousands of people. But you know what? There was one that cried out, that had a desperate call, that she reached God by her faith. And you know, the prophet came to her house. And we thought, well, with God, all things are possible. Well, you know, see, we try to limit God. The devil wants it. Well, you know, he might do it for somebody else, but I don't know about you. See, if he said, whosoever will. if it's to the least of, in the kingdom, if all the blessings of God, if all the promises of God are to the least in the kingdom, then guess what? If you're in the kingdom, they're yours. Then they belong to you. Then you claim what God gave you. See, we see that how the world has gotten into this condition. Brother Brown was talking about the churches. See, you just can't go to some church and follow some kind of program or anything like that. You got to know Christ for yourself. You got to have an experience for yourself. This is from the message, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brother Ram's speaking, and he was talking about the churches. He said, see, the churches have adopted this program. He was listening to some program on the radio. He said, where the program of teaching their children modern drinking. He said, what kind of bunch of idiots are you going to produce? He said, why is it? Because their mammy and pappy at home knows no more about God than a Hottentot does about an Egyptian knight. Abstain from the whole thing. See, and everybody goes to churches, and you know, and it's the most ridiculous mess. And you know that's the whole thing. Just go to church. Our church does this, and our church does that. And you know what? I've seen. I mean, the light shows and the music. I mean, when I went to a rock concert, that was that. I mean, sometimes they go to church and the music gets so cranked up, it's like, do they pass out earplugs? And well, we're worshiping the Lord. How do you know? You know, people. I've seen people go and they start listening to this music, and man, they have no idea what the words are. I was listening to this group one time, and these people and this dude jumped up, yeah. Man, he got all in this music, yeah. And then later on realized it was a Christian song. He's like, oh. Why? Because the music is rock music. And what was the spirit behind it? It's the same spirit that was inside of him that stirred him up. It's the same spirit that he was feeding on. It's the exact same thing. And he was out there enjoying himself till he found out, oh, it's talking about God. Well, you know, you let the devil into church, and you know, it's just some kind of free for all. And everybody thinks, well, you know, this is how we worship God. God's not in that. Because you know what? It's like when you go to church and you lay aside the scripture, you lay aside the Bible, and you know we just think good thoughts, and we just love the Lord, and we just come here and we can sing and raise our hands, and then when you begin to talk about living a Christian life, well, what's a Christian life? It's the same kind of life that God lived. That Jesus Christ lived. See, when you come to church and Brother, I'm talking about having an experience with God. He said, you know, people come to church. He said they're so hard-hearted. He said they don't shed a tear. He said the spirit. He said they're just so indifferent. He said it's the spirit of the age that they live in. So what is it? Men's hearts failing, perplexed of times. He said, natural effects gone from people, natural affections gone from people. He said, the love of God seems to pull away. And everybody's like, well, you know, we just come to church, but you know, there's no love of God. There's no movement. They don't have any. We just come to church and we just go through the motions and. Well, you know, you see people that come to church and they just have somebody come up and you know, we talk about some kind of little moral code and, just do right and, just help your neighbor and all these type things and not realize, you know what, it takes a death. It's you dying out to yourself. It's not some kind of psychology where we're just going to change. We're going to change our outlook. No. It's let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Where the old man dies in Jesus Christ. It's no longer I that live now, but it's Christ that lives in us. See, we have to get past beyond all of that. See, everybody wants to just see how things are. This just modern kind of way of living, and it's just, you know, I believe it was Brother Ernie Villanueva talking about, you know, there's, you know, just these colorless dreams and smooth knees and all these type things. It's just, you know, just floating along. But, you know, Brother Ram talked about, you know, how do you measure a man? Not how big he is, not how strong he is. He said, but by the wrinkles in his trousers from being on his knees. How do you, because somebody that spent their time praying, that have prayed through, that's how you can tell somebody that's a Christian. And you know, and it's just like, well, you know, they want the things of the world. They want to have a nice life. Well, you're not promised a nice life. Because you know what? All that live in Christ are going to suffer persecution. All that live godly. Because you know what? He didn't promise us anything on this side of the earth. He didn't promise us no flowery bread of ease. Nothing could go right. But you know what? We're laying up treasures that are beyond here. The scripture tells us all these things that we see, they're temporal. But the things that we're laying up, the things that we don't see, he said they are eternal. So there's a certain thing that we're coming to that you've got to get beyond all these things to get to a place that is eternal, to know what eternal life is. We're going to move beyond all these things. This realm, because it's all going to pass away. So I'm going to go back here in 1 Timothy. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believer. And the words here, before I close, I want to just touch on this. It says, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You begin to look into the scripture. I just want to, you know, look at a few things tonight, because I want you to understand that, you know, you got to come to this place and know what a believer is, and you got to be a believer, and you got to come to this place, and you know, it's us to show that example, to show Jesus Christ to the world. And it says in word, you know, the things that we say, we've got to have the word and know how to, you know, because you know the scripture tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. The things that we say, we can have an effect on people. We influence people by the things that we say. And you know, the scripture says that let everything that we say be seasoned with salt. You know, let no evil communication come out of your mouth. You know, you have to know what you're saying and know how to say it. And sometimes the best thing is don't say anything at all. Sometimes you don't have to apologize for the things you don't say. You know, sometimes we get in trouble for it, and we have to apologize because we didn't say something. Because we should have said something, and we didn't say something. When the Lord begins to speak to us and tell us we need to do things. And you see the condition that the world is in today. And people today, they say things, and especially with social media, they get out and they say things on social media, and they don't think there's any consequences to it. You know, I was watching a video the other day. This man, you know, they arrested him and brought him back to Florida from some other state. And you know, he threatened one of the sheriffs in some county in Florida, and they went up there and arrested him, brought him back. As soon as he got off the plane, he's in handcuffs, and the sheriff met him there. Said, "Mr. So-and-so, I'm the sheriff of this town. I'm so-and-so, I'm the one that you threatened." He said, "We got a place for you over here. We got you a room over here." And the deputies hauled him off to jail. And he was like, Well, guess what? Your words, they'll justify you or they'll condemn you. You have to watch what you say. Because you know what? Brother Ram said, even the scripture tells you, we are supposed to say what God says. To confess what God says, to say the same thing. And you know, when you talk about young people, because this is, some of it, it's geared toward the young people, but the main part of this is to us, the adults, to parents. Because you know what? And we had an incident some time back, but and when I found out about it, it was my son. And we had a meeting, Brother Wade and the other people, and I'm not going to get into all that, but we had a meeting. And you know what? You have to realize the things that you say has an effect on somebody. And one of the biggest things that we face in this world today, that young people face today, is bullying. You think it's funny because you can say something, and sometimes you can say something on the phone or social media, or you can just laugh it off because somebody else laughs. But you know what? When you say something like that, it has an effect on somebody. Because you know what? You wouldn't want somebody to say that to you. And it hurts me. Because I stop and look at a young girl in this church, and when something is said and somebody just thinks it's inconsequential, it meant something to her. It meant something to me. And that's the reason, we have to be mindful of these things, because the things that we say, you're sowing a seed. You can't sow a seed and then pray for a crop failure. You sow a seed, and Brother Bram said, you sow one little seed and you'll reap a washtub full of it. That's the reason that I appreciate Brother Dale for one thing. Well, there's many things, but there's one thing that really stands out to me. Brother Dale said one time, He said, if I done anything to you, whether I done wrong or not, he said, if you tell me I need to apologize to you, or you say that I done something wrong, he said, I'll apologize to you whether I done it wrong or not. He said, you come to me and say you offended me or whatever, he said, I'll apologize whether I'm in the wrong or not. And I thought, it takes a real man to do that. It takes a real Christian to do that. And I don't mind being the one to stand up here. And if it's me, then I'm the one that handles it. And I'll apologize. I don't mind calling people on the phone. I don't mind apologizing to people. Because you know what? I don't want anything to hinder me, and I don't want anything to hinder you. I don't want anything to hinder this church. Because you know what? You know, he said one little unconfessed sin in this church, he said, can cause this church to bitterly fail. He said, your conduct, You know, it's like, well, it's not just hindering the next service. It can hinder the growth of this church. And he said, and you'll answer for it. And so that's the reason why I don't want just let anything slide. I want to be exactly what we need to be. Uproot all these things. You know, so when we look at these things in the by our words, we also have the scripture tells us in Peter, and we need to know and give an answer when we are asked of the hope that lies within us. We need to be studied and to be sanctified to know these things and to how to give an answer to the things that when we're asked of these things to give an answer of what is inside of us and the hope and the revelation that we have to give an answer to it. Because you know what? The world is not everybody's going to accept it. You can talk to your blue in the face, but you know what? That's not going to change me. But I do know why I believe the way I do and what I believe. And the scripture says, in word and in conversation, the scripture says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he that hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, our conversation is not, in the scripture, our conversation is not conversation, it's our life. It's, if you look up the word conversation, it means the manner of life, the way of living. See, the things that he said, if we love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not in you. You can't live like the world and be a part of God, because we're supposed to be separate from the world. And you know, and the problem is sometimes, and I want to look at this, because you know, people. You know, it's you can't look at somebody else. You know, I tell young people sometimes, you know, just because somebody else says that's okay, and there may not be anything wrong with it, but I want you to have your own convictions. You know, just because somebody does a certain thing, that don't mean it's wrong. But you need to have your own convictions in your own life and say, well, you know what? It may be okay to do that, or it may, you know, but I'm not going to do it. Because you know what? I'm not comfortable with that. And then it's okay to do that. You know, Paul was talking about in the scripture, we're talking about people eating meat or not eating meat. Well, you know what? If you do a certain thing and you don't do a certain thing, then it's okay. It's not sinful. But if you think it's not okay to do this, then don't do it. But have your own convictions on it. And if somebody ridicules you of it, then that's okay. You know, just pray for them. But don't ever get to the place where, you know, you're walking lockstep because, you know, well, everybody in the church does such and such. Come up with, you know, just, you know, you have to see these things for yourself. The scripture tells us, you know, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You got to come up with your own set of convictions. And you know, and because you have to figure out what is right for you. You know, there's certain people, you know, that after they took, you know, in the past, you know, people that taken communion on Sundays, you know, they would take the communion. People wouldn't eat for the rest of the day. And some people believe that. You know, they eat the Lord's Supper, and after that, they don't take food for the rest of the day. You know, that's the reason sometimes, you know, they always made it the second service of the day, which not like we do here, but, you know, I mean, but in certain people, you know, they would have that conviction. They didn't eat. Well, just because somebody believes that or somebody eats after they take the Lord's Supper, then there's not a sin in that. But if you have a conviction, then follow what's your heart. Because you have to come to the place, is it against the Word? Is it? But if it's not against the Word, but you don't feel like, you feel like doing this, then don't do it. And just because someone else doesn't do that, you know, just like Paul said, you know, I wouldn't eat meat in front of a brother that didn't eat meat because I wouldn't do it because I didn't want to offend him. But he said, oh, you know, it's not like he wouldn't give up eating meat. But you know, if it was to edify somebody, then I wouldn't do it. So you have to look at those things to understand how we are supposed to process these things about how our life is to be. To be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in the way we live our lives. And because there's a lot of people in the world, the way they live, it's, you know, they live in a world of legalism. And they've not been delivered of it. And all you can do is pray for them. And just because somebody believes a certain way or does a certain way, you know, then you just pray for them and just love them anyway. But you know, you just, you know, and if somebody wants to draw you outside their circle, just like Brother Branham said, well, you can't draw me out because I draw my circle bigger. I draw you right back in. He said, in charity, that's love for one another. The same love that he loved us with, we love that. We express that to one another. Because the same agape love that we've received is the same one that we show to each other. And you know, one of the aspects of this love that he showed for one, that he said, you know, God showed us love, we ought to love one another. He said, you know, how can you say that I love God and hate your brother? He said, you know, because how can you love your brother whom you have seen? You love God whom you have not seen. So, you know, if you have a place where you get to the place where you don't love one another, if you've got an ought against somebody, then like Brother Ryan said, you know, get rid of that root of bitterness. You've got to dig it out. You've got to get rid of it. And he said, and wax that much closer together. And the same love, and the one thing that you got to realize is that when you love, the aspect of agape love is it's sacrificial. There, because you know, if you want to be show Jesus Christ, you know, the love of, then you it's a sacrifice. He loved you and I, and paid the ultimate sacrifice. And it's the same way with you and I. If we're going to show the world Jesus Christ, it's about our sacrifice. How much do we love one another? Just like Brother Brown talking about, you know, when you see one hurting, and it's just like, we all hurt. When one was blessed, we all rejoice. When one's rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. But if there's one hurting, then we all hurt. And you know, because there's no highs and there's no lows, there's no big I's and little U's. We're all the same. We're all important. We're all precious in the body of Christ. He said, in spirit. 2 Corinthians tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He says, in faith. Says faith is synonymous with trust or belief in the conviction of truth of anything. And Scripture usually speaks of belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor, born of faith and joined with it. See, you have to take these things that are given and have faith. Because he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is a revelation. And having that faith to put trust in what God says. And understanding that, he said, you know, we're supposed to honor those that are in power over us. That God has placed over us. To honor those, give double honor to those. And trust those. Because, you know, how can you have faith in God when you can't have faith in your brother? If God called a man to stand in the place, then how to be a pastor? How can you put faith in God and you can't have trust in the man? Because you know what? If I'm looking at the flesh, We can't trust in flesh. But you know, I realize that there's God there. There's God behind the flesh. There's God behind the flesh. And so we can have confidence in our brothers and our sisters. Why? Because we're all called of God. That's the reason I don't understand people, you know, well, I'm just going to push play. You know, and you know, we don't, you know, we're trying to do away with the fivefold ministry. And, you know, we're just going to listen to the prophet. Well, you know what? God called men all the way down from the beginning, and he had men come and speak. Had prophets all the way down through the scripture, had men that were called that began to speak, had called a fivefold ministry all the way down through the church ages. And he gets down to the end, and you know what? Got that much confidence in him. It's like what God was able to do it all the way till he got to the end, and then all of a sudden he tripped and stumbled, and all of a sudden we can't put confidence in the fivefold ministry. Well, it's that ridiculous. But we got confidence in one another. Because you know what? I realize I got confidence in my brothers and sisters because you know what? I realize if you fall, then guess what? It's my job to pray for you to get back up, to restore you. And I got confidence that you'll get back up. That I believe that you'll continue on. And I got confidence that if I fall, then you know what? Y'all will be praying for me. I got confidence in you. Because I believe God's in this body of believers working. And he said in purity. Second Corinthians says, "For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." He said, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Because we put our confidence in him, that we are sons of God, then you know what? That we are pure through him. That we are purified through him, through the word. And I want to read one more portion of scripture. Let's stand, let's have the musicians come. I want to read one more portion of scripture before I finish tonight. But this is Ephesians 4, beginning verse 22. And I'm just going to run through this real quick. I know y'all are starting to get tired, but I just want to share this with you. Verse 22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now I just want to share something with you. The first verse says, putting off the former conversation, the old man. Well, 1 Timothy says, in conversation. The first verse, verse 22, put off the conversation of the former, the old man. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in spirit. He says, and then put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness in spirit. He said, whereby I put away lying, speak the truth to the neighbor, is which in word. He said, and be angry and sin not. Not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's in conversation. That's the way you live your life. He said, neither give place to the devil. That's in spirit. Because the place the devil wants to work is in your mind. The devil works in the spiritual realm. So that's in spirit. He said, and then he that stole, let him steal no more. That's your way of life. That's conversation. He said, let no evil, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's your words. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's in spirit. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you. That's purity. And he said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And that's in charity. So here's Paul writing in Ephesians 4. And every one of those scriptures covers everything that Paul talks about in 1 Timothy. Every one of those. And it's one passage of scripture, and he covered every single one of those. And I want you to see that. I want to be closer to God than I've ever been. And I want to be an example to the believer, of the believers, to the young people. Be thou an example to the believers. I want the young people to see Jesus Christ. And I want you to have a testimony that people can see Jesus Christ in you. Just because you're young, I want the world to see Jesus Christ in you. But I want you to see Jesus Christ in us. In my words, in my conversation, in my faith, in my charity, in my purity. I want you to see Jesus Christ in every part of my life. Yes. And if there's some part of my life that doesn't match up to that, it doesn't meet the standard, I want God to work on my life. I don't want another day where there's some kind of issue, and I don't want it just hidden behind some door. I want all the doors open. I want God to have his will and way with us. Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night, Lord. I know it's kind of lengthy tonight, Lord Jesus, but Lord, what's been on my heart to say, and Lord, I want you to just mold us into your image, Lord Jesus. If there's anything in our lives, Lord, that's not pleasing, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, I want you to work on my life. Lord, I see the hour in which we live. And Lord, we see the condition the world's in. Lord, we know that, Father, your coming is not too far away, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you help us tonight, Lord, to be ready, and Lord, lay aside every weight and every sin that would so be easily beset us, Lord. Lord, just come and mold us into your image, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, as it's come to us. And Lord, we can see ourselves. And sometimes we look into the mirror of your word, Lord Jesus, and see things that we don't like about ourselves, Lord. Lord, but we know that the Holy Spirit is here to work in our lives, Lord, to change these things. Lord, we'd like to have miracles take place in our lives, but sometimes it's a day-to-day walk with you, Lord. It's a daily grind. Lord, it's a daily overcome. It's a daily dying out. And Lord, that's what we're asking for, Lord. Lord, you give us strength. Lord, by your word, Lord, we are strengthened. Lord, we're more than conquerors through you to overcome all these things. Lord, we don't understand why the battles are the way they are, the things we face, Lord, but we know that they all work for our good. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each one that's here tonight, Lord, whatever the needs may be, Lord, whatever the desire is in their heart. Lord, when we look into the word, Lord, may you be molded into your image, Lord. The prophet said, we've been invited to be molded into your image, Lord. Lord, you've called us to this place, Lord, and we just want to continue to walk in the word that you've given us and the light of the word, Lord Jesus. Lord, as the honing time has come down, Lord, as the word comes in, Lord, it removes all the things of us, Lord Jesus, of our humanity, Lord Jesus, everything that's contrary to the word, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we be molded into your image, Lord Jesus, that the world can see Jesus Christ. Lord, that we can be pleasing to you in everything that we do and say. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves into your hands, Lord. Father, we just want you to have your will and way with us. Lord, bless the ones that are not here tonight. Lord, the ones that are sick, whatever the needs are, Lord. Father, we just believe that you'll minister to each one, meet the needs. Lord Jesus, we continue to hold them up. Lord, as the devil has his little plans and his way to attack us, Lord Jesus, but we realize it's only permitted of you for these things to take place. And Lord Jesus, but we still claim our healing. We still claim our deliverance. Lord, we still claim our families. Lord Jesus, whatever has come against us, Lord Jesus, we still believe that you are the answer, Lord Jesus. You're still in control. And Lord, we just believe whatever, no matter how it comes, Lord Jesus, Lord, whatever it looks like, God, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we've strengthened in the word, Lord, to hold on, to continue to fight the battle. Lord, we get weary sometimes. But Lord, you said that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Through your word, Lord Jesus, we are renewed in strength and zeal. Lord, I pray for each one tonight, Lord Jesus, whatever the needs are. Lord, just give them their desire of their hearts. Lord, we commit ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ to you. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight.
Oh, there's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines this day, this glorious day. Oh, there's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day.
Amen. There's never been a day like this day. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you, Lord willing, Sunday. Looking forward to it. Brother Trevor will be here Sunday. Wonderful. Amen. Let's just all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We've been able to gather in your house, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord, as we travel on our way home, Lord, you just watch over each one of us, Lord. Keep us safe during the week, Lord. We just pray for our brother Trevor as he's coming Sunday, Lord, to bring the word to us, Lord. Lord, we're just looking for a great time in you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you bless each one. Watch over and keep us, Lord. Bless our pastor, Lord. And Sister June, Lord, as they labor in your work, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for them. We just continue to hold them up. You strengthen them, Lord Jesus. Give them comfort in every aspect of their life, Lord Jesus. Whatever they have need of, Lord. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we are able to be guided, Lord, by a man of God, that we're able to stand here. Lord, we realize it's you. leading him, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I thank you for wonderful brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we're able to fellowship on this side of eternity together. But what a great day it's coming, Lord. It won't be far away, Lord. Lord, we're going to lay down all these problems, all these sorrows, Lord Jesus. Lord, this old flesh of humanity, Lord, this mortality is going to go down. And Lord, we're going to be wrapped in immortality. Lord, we thank you for it. What a wonderful thing, Lord. Lord, we realize what's coming. Lord, just give us, Lord, strength to make it. Lord, whatever we face, Lord Jesus, Lord, just help us make the right decisions. Lord, let us be pleasing in everything that we do to you. Lord, we commit it all to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed.
There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see.